So going into this campaign season, we surveyed our listeners to find out what issues mattered most to them, and what they would ask candidates if given the opportunity. So many of the questions that I have for you today are based on that listener feedback. So first of all, just tell me a little bit about yourself and what are the skills and knowledge and experience that you would bring to Congress?
I'm a Hispanic business owner here in the Central Valley. That's my day job when I'm not running for Congress, which is mostly a full-time job these days. I sit on two committees already for the city of Fresno. One I do chair. I'm an active board member with the Central California Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. I am raising two young kids here. I have a almost 7-year-old who's in first grade now, and a 2-year-old running around the house. We're trying to corral during distance learning times. And my wife is unfortunately, a stay-at-home mother these days because of the coronavirus. But she was active in this last school year, doing some work for Valley Public Radio, actually, or Valley Public Television, with her knowledge and insight of Spanish and interpretation and language. She is bilingual, and I think my business acumen, if you want to call it that, being able to bring people together in their best interest to move forward in their goals and their needs and wants is what is going to make me an effective leader here for the Central Valley. That's what I do on a pretty much a regular basis. I sit across the table from my clients. I don't ask for registration, and when I need help to get them to their goal, my colleagues or I are either a phone call away or not. And I don't ask for the registration either. I make sure that their best asset and what they're knowledgeable in is going to be able to help me and my client move forward in their in achieving their goals. So,
And what exactly is your business?
financial services.
Okay, so and how long have you been doing that?
For 5 years,
Great.
Since I moved back to the Valley, which is 2015.
Very good. So thank you for that. I would like to move on to some of the big issues that we've been facing as a state and as a nation. Of course, the biggest issue this year has been COVID-19. We did get a question from a listener in Visalia, which is this: how would you address economic recovery and the effect the pandemic has had on education? So maybe we'll start with economic recovery and then talk about education.
Well, I mean, the best thing we can do right now, I'm a firm believer in the science behind COVID-19, and I think it's important to listen to the experts and the scientists, the Dr. Fauci's of the world, and the CDC, and really, do what is necessary to make sure that our businesses get back to opening their doors. I believe I'm a firm believer in small businesses and them leading the way in our local economies, and they are. I believe that in the end, they're gonna lead the way back by all of us participating though, and socially distancing and wearing your mask and washing your hands as well. I do believe that it's going to be up to those in business to provide a safe environment for us to visit, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's their boutique, or anything like that. Coming together as a community is what we need to do in order to get these businesses open again. And if you're pro business, if you're pro small business, the best thing you can do for them is wear your mask and wash your hands and socially distance, and that will open up and make things a lot better around here in the Central Valley, a lot better, and get people back to jobs. I mean, my wife is unfortunately a victim of COVID-19 with the position she had at Valley, Valley PBS. So we want, she wants to get back to work. We want to make sure other people get back to work as well. And when it comes to education, we are feeling the effects right now. My 7-year-old who is in first grade, my wife wasn't able to go back to work. There was a position offered in the work that she does, but she wasn't able to go back because she has to be home with our son while I campaign to help him with his distance learning. So we understand, and we want him to go back to school. He misses his friends. He wants to be around them. But we know what's most important, not only for our family, but for other families, his friends' families, the staff, the teachers, is to make sure that we get through this virus. And you know, we're hoping that when fall of 2021 comes around, that this nation has come together to control this virus so that our children can get back in school.
So continuing on COVID-19 and the effect it's had here in the Valley, the number of people experiencing homelessness was a big concern for our community long before the pandemic happened. Mm-hmm. But now with so many people out of work or potentially facing evictions, mm-hmm. there is real concern that the issue could get a lot worse. Mm-hmm. What do you think should be done?
Well, you look, you know, before I opened my own business, you know, and even during business, you know, we had tough times in our family. So we understand what it's like to have to live paycheck to paycheck and not know where your next paycheck is going to come from. And you're going to be able to pay your bills, you know, to keep your lights on and to keep a roof over your head. We always can do more as a community to help those in need. You know, most of our homeless issues come from those with substance abuse issues and mental health issues. And those can be taken care of on a local level, but with the support of the state and federal government. We have to have leaders in Washington and Sacramento who understand, you know, what it's like to have to provide and put a roof over your head for your family and others, but there has to be a real community effort in this. You know, we have to make sure that we are providing affordable housing for those low-income families and even places of shelter for those that are homeless. It's going to take a community effort. Look, no one wants to see what's going on in our communities in both Fresno County and Tulare County. You know, it has gotten worse, and the aesthetics of it are not pleasant, whether you're going down the highway or you're going through downtown in the South Valley there. So we need to come together and realize that we have to make shelters available. We have to build affordable housing, and it can't be affordable housing just in one area of these cities. Everybody needs to come together and say, look, we want to get these people off the streets. We don't like the way our streets look. We're willing to put some affordable housing in our areas. You know, we can't want the solution but not want to be a part of the solution as well. So, you know, and that's my take on housing. But as an elected official, you know, I'm going to be here, I'm going to be present, and I'm going to be working on how to help these local governments and our state government battle the housing crisis that we have here in California.
So we got another question from Visalia that addresses another huge story this summer, the civic unrest following the deaths of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and others. So the question is this: how would you restore social peace while also addressing the valid concerns about abuse of power and racial problems?
Yeah, Breonna Taylor's death, the death of George Floyd and many others during this time is unfortunate. And it hasn't changed. Things haven't changed much in this country. And that's unfortunate for the African American community. And, you know, I fully support the Black Lives Matter movement and, you know, the peaceful protests that are going on out there around the country. And we've seen here right in the Central Valley, Visalia had, some signs during the beginning with George Floyd right there at one of the local high schools, which has been now moved. And I participated up here in Fresno County with some of our Black Lives Matters peaceful protests. We have to address this from the very top. We need the rhetoric to change from the very top and to bring people together. Right now, unfortunately, we have an administration that their best course of action, they believe for them and their reelection progress perspective is to divide this country. And, you know, we are so much better than what this administration believes that we are, especially right here in the Central Valley. This is a very special place in my heart. And I believe in the people here of the Central Valley, especially this 22nd Congressional District. I know in our hearts that we can do better and that we want to do better. No one wants to see the violence that has broken out in some of these major cities, you know, come here to the Central Valley. And I don't believe it. I mean, you know, all things considered, I don't believe that's going to happen. But we need, because we need, what we need to do, though, is we need to start by, you know, changing our elected representatives from the top on down, who believe that it's time for, you know, to end systemic racism and start thinking about how we police our communities in terms of, you know, providing resources to one, to moving resources from maybe an all police budget to more of a social services budget in combined with those two to really take on community policing in the Central Valley.
So you've talked a lot about growing up with asthma and the need for the Valley to improve its air quality. And we know that's an issue that our listeners care about as well. But of course, this summer, the biggest threat to our air quality has been wildfire, much of which has burned and is burning in national forest. Mm-hmm. So as a potential, as a congressional candidate, what steps do you think the federal government should take to prevent historic fire seasons like the one we're currently experiencing?
Yeah, well, you know, if you grew up here, if you've lived here for a long time in the Central Valley, you know, you probably grew up with asthma yourself, and you probably, your kids probably grew up with asthma as well, and you've seen the terrible air quality days that we have here without the wildfires. The Central Valley is the worst air basin in the nation, and that is without the wildfires. Now, with the wildfires, it gets even worse. I know my children have been cooped up for the last 2 weeks, unable to go outside to play because of the terrible air quality. This is both a management issue and it's both a climate change issue. On the federal level, what we need to do is have elected representatives who are interested in not only the science behind climate change and understanding what comes about with the climate change, but providing the resources to, you know, the federal forest services to manage their to manage the forests in the national parks and other areas that they control as well, you know, prescribed burns, restoration thinning, all that, and all that can help as well. But we do have to understand that, you know, these times with climate change, you're going to have more, you know, lightning strikes, you're going to have more drought, you're going to have more heat, you're going to have wetter winters. All that needs to take into consideration, along with that forest management, to make sure that you know, we can mitigate what we're seeing in the Valley today. And you know, and that's what I would do as a member of Congress, is make sure that, you know, on my backyard, which is literally right here in the Sierra Nevadas and the Sierra National Forest with Yosemite and Kings Canyon, Sequoia National Park, is taken care of so that we don't experience these terrible air quality days and kids not being able to go outside and some of us who do have respiratory issues, you know, don't become more ill. We've had a member of Congress in this seat for 18 years and nothing has changed. It is time for a change, to send someone who grew up here and has experienced those issues to understand that this is a priority for the Central Valley.
Well, let's talk about the campaign. It's, you know, you're facing an incredibly well-funded, mm-hmm. Long-time incumbent candidate, mm-hmm. in the middle of a pandemic, which I'm sure is going to throw a wrinkle in any kind of a campaign strategy.
Sure.
How are things going, and how are you feeling about your chances of winning?
Well, things are going real great here. You know, especially, I guess, since our primary win back in March, which seems so long ago. You know, there's been so much support and activity on this campaign through the summertime with, you know, our grassroots, you know, volunteers and supporters, and, you know, and our team working hard and being expanded. Yes, it is not a conventional race. We have to do more digitally. We have to do more phone banking. We have to do more text banking because we're not going to be out there canvassing, unfortunately, because we want to make sure that everyone's safe. You know, again, I believe that in 2018, the people of the Central Valley, there was an awakening. When you presented them with a different option, they understood that they don't have to continue to keep voting for the incumbent, who's basically been a no-show for the last decade, probably decade and a half, in terms of being an actual representative. And that's what we're doing again this year. We're going to take that momentum, which, you know, got us about as close as anyone had ever did or had ever gone in 2018. And we're taking that momentum and we're building off of it. And, you know, I believe we're throwing a better candidate into the mix here, you know, one who does represent the Valley in the majority, the minority majority, a Latino, a business owner, you know, a small business owner, someone who's present, someone who's invested, raising his own family here, and whose wife is also involved in the community as well. You know, my story of growing up as in a single parent household, having to work my way through college, you know, full time to graduate Fresno State here. I'm the only candidate in this race who actually graduated from Fresno State. I believe is a story that everybody can relate to and on the hard work. And that's what we're doing in our campaign. You know, our opponent might be well funded, but what we're going to be able to do is outwork him to get our message out there. He's relying on his name and his voters to bail him out again this year. But I don't believe that the voters are willing to bail him out in a presidential year anymore. And they want real representation and some pride to come back to the Central Valley.
So last question before I let you go. This is a question from a listener in Fresno. Okay. If you win, given how polarized Washington, D.C. is, given how polarized our whole country has become, I should say, how will you collaborate? And how and with whom will you collaborate to affect the changes that you want to see?
Look, my door is open. My door will be wide open to anyone who wants to come and have a conversation with me about how to best move this valley forward. And that includes members of Congress right here in the Central Valley. Whether that's, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, whether that's, Republican Representative Tom McClintock. And, you know, we have Jim Costa and Representative Cox and TJ Harder. You know, I can't stress enough that, you know, in my business, I do not ask for registration when I'm meeting with a client or I'm going and asking a colleague for help. What we're doing is what's best for the client and their best interests going forward. And that's exactly what I will do as a member of Congress. I'm not interested in this big polarization that's happening in this country right now, because it's getting nothing done. We have career politicians, millionaires, and corporations who have taken over Washington. And there's a lot of big money and special interests that, have basically, funded these campaigns like my opponent and people would say, you know, bought them off in order to continue their agenda. So, you know, I'm not taking any corporate PAC money. I'm not taking any special interest money. My allegiance belongs to the people of the Central Valley and the 22nd Congressional District. And I will do whatever I have to do and work hard to make sure that we move this valley forward.
Well, Phil Arbayo, candidate for the 22nd Congressional District. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Kathleen. It was a pleasure being on here.